Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another weekend of the Ask the Experts weekend. And this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete. Do the hustle.
Do the hustle. Good morning, all you hard workers. You did it. You woke up, you yawned, you stretched, and you made one of the best decisions that you can make all day this Sunday morning. You're joining me on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. And this show, as you heard Josh say, and he says it every Sunday morning, is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. So who is that? That's you. That's your parents. That's your kids. We're all intertwined in the workforce one way or another, right? We need an income to pay our bills. We either worked, we're working, we will work, right? I don't know any trust fund babies that are sitting on a big pile of $100 bills just counting them, throwing them up in the air, just burning money. That's not you. That's not me. We're in the workforce, guys. And this show is all about you. And each week, I have some of Jacksonville's most influential people as my guests, and this week is no different. And I'll introduce you to them in just a couple of minutes here. But, you know, I like to share stories about my career, and I'm not afraid to tell you where I've taken a left, where I should have taken a right. I've made mistakes, and I've taken some lumps along the way. And I share this with you not to beat myself up, but to tell you the mistakes I made, what I've done to correct that, so that you, my dear friends, listeners, that you can avoid the pitfalls and you can stay on the right course and not make the mistakes that I made. So, I got a big old social media machine. If you're not linked in with me on LinkedIn, get linked in. You know, even though I'm Pete the Job Guy, my real name is Pete Langlois, L-A-N-G-L-O-I-S. Link in with me, folks, okay? Follow me on all my social media. I got the Twitter, I got the
Instagram.
The Instaface.
Instaface and the My Book.
I got all the internets. My website is Pete the Job Guy. Go out to that, follow me, like me, because I put out information every day, a little quip-it or a tidbit that's going to help you to have a better day. And one of the ones that I put out this week is called DBM. And DBM reflection is really don't be me. That's what it stands for. And I want to read you what I wrote. And this week in the DBM reflection, it says, as a young leader, early in my career, I let emotion get the best of me. When I got upset, I raised my voice and displayed my anger. Whatever made me mad wasn't important anymore. What became more important was my poor behavior and inability to deal with a difficult situation. Don't be me. Guys, you know, if you're mad at work, and guess what? 65% of us, and this is according to a recent survey, 65% of people have dealt with office rage. Okay, 65% of office workers have dealt with office rage. 45% of people in the survey said they lose their temper at work regularly. Are you kidding me? Gosh, and think about how that manifests. No wonder why workplace violence is on the rise right now. Everybody's mad as heck. But guys, you can't display that anger. There's a lot of things you can do to curtail that as an employer, as a leader, as a manager in a company. How do you do it? Well, first, you kind of build the culture. And the culture is one where, hey, guys, we're not going to yell at each other. We're not going to raise our voice to each other. If we're upset, you know, if we're dealing with something at home, check your bags at the door when you come to the office and be ready and accepting of others. The good, the bad, everything. We're all different. You know, life is hard for everybody. We're all dealing with stress. Everybody's got a big bag of something, right? And you don't want to open that bag up all the time and poke people's wounds. So one, have a culture, a workplace culture that, you know, we're not going to get mad at each other. You can lay it down as a leader. Another one is set the example. If I'm the leader, and I'm going to tell you what, one time I banged my fist down so hard in a conference meeting because I was so mad at the people and their inability to get the job done. When I banged my fist down, it spilled a cup of coffee all over the table. Wow. I'm lucky I had a job at that point, right? Because people could say I felt threatened. I felt harassed. I was intimidated by his behavior. You know, again, it was very early in my career. And Renee, if you're listening, I apologize for that. I know she's a listener and she remembers that. But, you know, don't be that person. Don't be me. You know, you got to also have, and I don't mind saying gotta, because I, you know, I'm from Boston, you know, hey, one thing you've got to have too is a system of, you know, rewards and consequences at your office and disciplinary action. If someone is kicking a trash can across the room, you know, you sit down, you counsel that person, you explain to them what acceptable behavior is, what unacceptable behavior is, but there has to be consequences. You can't have, you know, inaction is not an answer. You have to dive in. Provide training. That's the most important thing, is train people. Look, if you're dealing with a difficult situation, there's multiple ways to handle it. Here's the best way. And then work with your people. Training, you can do role play scenarios, but that heightens the awareness and can really help people. I'm going to get off my soapbox right now because I just wanted to share that with you. And I think it's important sometimes when you look back on your career, especially when you're an old guy like me, you have hindsight and it's 2020. You know, if I only knew then what I know now, I would have had a much more linear route to success. Okay, my two guests today are fantastic, and I told you I did, and I'm really excited. You might know I'm a proud supporter of JDRF, and we're going to talk about what JDRF is in a minute. But my first guest, and I'm going to introduce you both, and I'm going to read the introductions because it's important for me to get it right. And my first guest is Alexandra Iannone, right? That's it. You can say it. Iannone?
That's it. Iannone.
There it is. Alexandra Iannone. She's the development manager for JDRF in North Florida. She's originally from the House of the Mouse, Orlando, Florida, and she became involved with JDRF North Florida during her undergrad at Flagler College. Upon graduating, she became involved as a volunteer for the JDRF Miracles Gala. During her time with UNF Athletics Department, Alexandra scheduled a JDRF-themed night during a UNF men's basketball game and helped spread awareness. That's fantastic. That's all on top of doing all your schoolwork and all your other, all the other things that you did there. That's an ancillary part. And guys, volunteering takes some time and energy, and it's fantastic. Fast forward to where we are now. Alexandra has been the development manager for JDRF North Florida for a year, and she oversees the JDRF Miracles Gala. All right, Alexandra, welcome to Hard Work with Pete the Job Guy.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for that awesome introduction.
There you go. Well, you supplied it. I just know your face, yeah. Your name, and I've seen you present to groups before, and you're fantastic.
Thank you.
But I'm glad you're here. My other guest is Melanie Van Zant, royalty, last name right here in Jacksonville, Florida. And yes, she is related. She's a native of Atlantic Beach. Oh, she's a local from right here. This year, JDRF's, she's always one of JDRF's greatest volunteers. I think you're involved in just about everything, the one walk, all of it. Is that right?
Yeah, I try.
All right. Well, this year you have the prestigious title of being the JDRF Miracles Gala, the chair. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. And you got involved when your daughter was diagnosed with T1D 11 years ago at the age of 7. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're involved. And I know this is going to be a very, very, very special event. Let's start off with Alexandra. Tell us, what is JDRF?
Yes. So JDRF is the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. And we are globally, we're the largest T1D funder supporting research. So we fundraise to find a cure for type 1 diabetes. And just so we can touch on what type 1 diabetes is, type 1 is an autoimmune disease. It's different than type 2. Type 2 is a metabolic disease. So type 1 is autoimmune, and it's where the pancreas stops producing insulin, and that person now has to rely on insulin injections for the rest of their life until there's a cure.
So it's not like, okay, I have type 1 diabetes, I'm going to change my diet, lose weight, and it's going to go away. That's not what type 1 diabetes.
Type 1 is not reversible. Type 2, there is a chance that you are able to reverse. Type 1 is you have it until there's a cure. But JDRF is working very hard on finding cures, and I want to make sure that I say that properly, that it's cures, plural. We think that there will be more than one cure that will come at a time. There's going to be several cures. So it's very exciting. And JDRF also when we are working on cures, we are funding research throughout the country, throughout the world. It's a global. We've funded over $2 billion since our inception in 1970.
Do you know, I'm glad you said since the inception in 1970. You know, in the 70s, type 1 diabetes a lot of times was a death sentence.
Right.
I know it was for my Uncle Teddy. And for his daughter, my cousin,
wow.
She went into a diabetic coma and died. My grandfather died of diabetes, type 1D. So it's in my family, but it touches the lives of so many people. The percentages is overwhelming. You know, let's start with Melanie. If you could, Melanie, share a personal story about type 1 diabetes, if you would.
I'll start with the diagnosis.
Please.
My daughter was 7. We had no knowledge, which most people do not know a lot about this disease until it actually affects you personally. She was 7 years old. She started eating like a grown man. She would have 3 eggs for breakfast, toast, bacon. She'd get to school and call me within 30 minutes. I'm starving. This went on for a couple weeks without us really realizing.
And initially, it's kind of funny, right? Oh, look at this. My child's hungry.
I kept thinking she's got to be growing.
Right.
But then she was losing weight as well. And so then I really thought, well, maybe she's just shooting up a little bit.
Right.
And, getting taller and then she's going to get, I had no idea. But so then she started drinking a lot of water. She would drink a whole bottle of water and go straight to the bathroom and then be thirsty again. And she was 7 years old, and she wet the bed. And I was like, this is not right. She hasn't wet the bed since she was 3. Something's wrong. So we called the pediatrician, and we took her in. And the pediatrician was like, well, it doesn't work like that. I know what you're thinking. But they had already pricked her finger, and they were doing the test in the back, and the nurse came in, and she was like, showed her. And she was, normal blood sugars are between 80 and 120. And when we got to the hospital that afternoon, her blood sugar was at 960.
Holy cow.
So we were very lucky that we did catch it when we did. Mm-hmm. A lot of people go in with severe complications.
Yeah.
But, we spent 3 days in the hospital, got educated, learned how to give my daughter shots, and
you were also fortunate that the pediatrician didn't misdiagnose, which I hear a lot of, you know?
We got very lucky with that.
What are some of the other symptoms? So we hear like an incredible diet, insatiable diet, thirsty beyond belief, keep drinking the water. I hear the camel stories.
Unquenchable.
Nauseous.
Flu-like symptoms.
Yes.
Wetting the bed.
Anger.
Anger, too, yeah.
Yes. Their blood sugars
Their blood sugars are, very high, very low, all over the place, depending on what, without insulin, there's no way for you to regulate that blood sugar.
So your life changed that day. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Yeah, and that was 11 years ago. And over the course of the last 11 years, I think you've seen some of the benefits of the JDRF-funded research.
Tremendous. Yes, right. It's amazing. It's, still a daily lifestyle, and it's still difficult on days. But what we've seen, the changes, and, just having to give her shots. I don't have to do that anymore. She wears an insulin pump. From checking her blood sugars 8 to 12 times a day, we don't have to do that anymore because she wears a continuous glucose monitor. So
which you can check from your phone,
too. And she just recently moved out away from me, so now I just check it from my phone whenever she's, at her house. So it's definitely, it makes things a lot easier and gives you a little more, I don't even know the word,
Comfort. Yes, because she's away, but mom's always going to be, going to watch it. You can make a phone call.
I call her all the time. She's like, I get the same notifications you do, Mom. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm just not right there.
Excellent. Alexander, if you would, please share a personal story.
Yes, so my story is completely different. I don't have any history of type 1 diabetes in my family. I actually had a very close friend in high school. He has type 1, and that was the first time I was introduced to the disease, and I watched him do shots, and he would be on a few trials that through, I think, JDRF were funding, and it really just opened my eyes that one of my close friends has to deal with something like this. And so I got involved at a young age in high school, and then once I went to Flagler College, I looked up places to volunteer, and I was familiar with JDRF, so I started with the North Florida chapter and then made my way to helping out at the gala, and from there, I am now an employee. So
all
it just
right.
totally went a different way. I was working in college athletics, Division I at UNF for 5 years, and I thought I would stay in athletics for a long time, and I completely went a different route, and I'm happy that it went this way because everything happens for a reason. And I didn't know when in high school that my interest in JDRF and helping people with type 1 would lead me to a career. So I'm very thankful.
Oh, that's great.
You know, different story.
Yeah, well, my story, the reason I got involved is because a great friend of mine and my neighbor is Casey Repass, and
yes.
her daughter Robinson has type 1D.
Yes.
And when I heard her story and I see all the great things she's doing with Robinson's rainbows and all
yes.
that, why the heck wouldn't I get involved?
Right,
you know,
yes,
and it's
yeah.
It's great. And then I realized, you know, how many people are impacted. But you know what I really want to focus on is, what are some of the advancements that have happened, let's say, you know, over the last 10, 15 years? Because it is pretty exciting. We talked about one, the continuous glucose monitor,
yes.
which is great, and the ability to check it from your phone. But what are some of the other advancements and maybe some other stuff that's in the pipe?
Yes. Melody, do you want to share just what Araya started with and like when she was younger and now where she is today?
Like
now she has her CGM, like how are you
yeah,
saying she was doing?
Like I said, I mean, we started out with at least four shots a day. One, which is a long-lasting insulin, so it's for the 24 hours, and then one with each meal. And sometimes if you're, you know, you have to correct a high blood sugar, she would have to get a shot for that as well. At the time, she was going to a private school that did not have a nurse, so I went every day for lunch. Anytime she had an issue... So I'm dragging my son and we're heading up to school again. So that, you know, once she was on shots for about a year and then she received the insulin pump, which was amazing. And
yes.
that was 10 years ago. And just the pumps alone, the way that they, you know, they communicate with different devices, and there's so much in, you know, in the works on these things, just doing it all on their own where they don't even have to do anything, which is amazing.
It's come a long way.
Yeah, it's huge how
yes.
you just watching this process. I'm watching what we do, fundraising, how it really impacts everybody's life.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and pumps now are small devices that can be worn on the back of the arm or on the thigh or on the stomach. And type 1 diabetes is what we call like a silent disease. It's an invisible disease, I guess. I could have it right now and you would have no idea because I'm wearing a shirt that would be covering it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of things in the pipeline that are going on right now. And JDRF is really focusing on beta cell replacement right now. And that's because the pancreas doesn't have working beta cells. So if we can replace those beta cells, or if we can reactivate those beta cells or get those restarted somehow, then that could completely reverse the disease.
Mm-hmm.
So beta cell replacement is something that is majorly funded right now by JDRF. And there's going to be major things coming down the pipeline in that aspect.
All right, guys, this is a good spot right now to stop and take a quick commercial break. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
Welcome back, hard workers. And we were talking about a lot of things coming down the pipeline. And what I like is, you know, JDRF is committed to finding the cure. I mean,
that's absolutely our vision.
But along the way, you're improving the lives of everyone affected, because the parents are affected, just like the kids and all that. And last week, I actually had Jeremy Vaughn on as my guest. You may know Jeremy. His daughter also has T1D, and he tells a story. That's what inspired him to create innovative software so it's continuously compliant. And he related what his product does to T1D to be able to help people. So I thought it was phenomenal, and I look forward to seeing him at the gala coming up on the 19th. And I really want to talk about the gala. Now, first thing I want to say is last year, Pete the Job Guy was a proud sponsor of the bar last year.
Yes.
And when I sponsor the bar, that means we're going to have some fun, people. But there had to have been, and I'm just going to pull some numbers. I think there were over 500 people. There were
correct.
Around five.
Yes. Yes.
And we raised a total of about $600,000?
$600,000.
To fund
absolutely
research.
Absolutely amazing. It goes to research. Absolutely.
And I'm going to tell you something. I met lifelong friends there. Charlie Jimerson, what are you doing? Shout out to Charlie. Became one of my best friends. I met him there. But I'm going to tell you, everybody dresses to the nines. They come out. The band's great. They had a silent auction that was so much fun. You get to hear incredible stories of perseverance, overcoming, and inspirational stories for people. And you know what, Melody, you're the gala chair. Talk a little bit about the theme for this year and what it's all about and when it is, please.
So this year our theme is an evening with kings and queens, or for kings and queens, sorry. And it is kind of a play on words, so it's almost like a Vegas card, you know, excitement.
Yeah.
And we are super excited. We have some great auction items this year. We are ahead of our goal. So we're doing great. We're shooting for a $1 million gala, but may not get there, but at least we're getting closer. And it's just going to be so much fun.
Oh,
we're
good.
So excited.
Well, when is it and where is it?
It is at the Sawgrass Marriott on Saturday, October 19th. It starts at 6 o'clock, and we go all the way into the night until about 11 is when the celebrations tend to die down, but
yeah. And I'll tell you what, okay, this is how it works. You go out there, you participate, you're glad handing, meeting. It's a great networking event too. There's a
absolutely.
Lot of great people. You'll recognize faces. I don't care who you are, you're going to recognize people there because there's so many attendees. But we just had so much fun, and you know, we're all drinking and yucking it up too, and then we had these great dance things at the end. We had a blast. And when you say at the Sawgrass Marriott, it's not one of those little bump out rooms. You
right.
get the enormous ballroom, and we fill up the whole thing. There's a great dinner, and then after that, you guys, JDRF worked out a deal too with the hotel. If people don't feel like Ubering home, you can just spend the night. We spent the night last year. It was a whole lot of fun.
Yes, the hotel is great. The Sawgrass Marriott is beautiful. The hotel rooms are beautiful. The ballroom is going to be amazing, especially decorating for our theme, since our theme is just so fun, with a lot of kings and queens and ace of diamonds and kings of spades, that kind of thing. It's going to be great. We're going to have poker tables come out at the end of the night. It'll be such a fun evening, and it's all benefiting research for cures for type 1 diabetes.
That's fantastic. Alexandra and Melody, I'm so glad you guys came here and spent your morning with us. Can you just tell us, if people want to sign up and register for it, how can they do that?
Yes, absolutely. We would love for you to attend our gala this year. If you just go to jdrf.org/North Florida, that'll take you to the JDRF North Florida page, and the gala is linked on that page. Or if you would like to send myself an email, you can send it to Alexandra, and I'll just spell it out for you. It's aiannone@jdrf.org, and I'd be happy to send you a direct link. And it's going to be such a fun night. We're expecting a great crowd just like last year, and hopefully we can beat our fundraising goal of over $600,000.
Oh, well, let's get it $1 million. What do you think, Melody? You think we can
get it? I think that would be amazing. Please join us.
Yes. So,
good. Well, listen, that music tells us we're coming to the bottom of the hour. I appreciate you guys spending your Sunday morning. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank
with
you
me.
For having us.
Thank you so,
so
much for having us.
Very good. Guys, join me on the back end of this show from 8:30 to 9 o'clock. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104. 4.5 WOKV. Do the hustle. Do the hustle. Welcome back, all you hard workers. Boy, if you missed the first part of the show, shame on you. What's the matter with you? Set your alarm a little bit earlier. It's important to listen to this show each week. But no, in all seriousness, if you did miss the show, the first part of the show, my guests are from JDRF, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation of North Florida, right here in Jacksonville. My guests were Alexandra Iannone and Melody Van Zant, and we talked all about type 1 diabetes, you know, what are some of the great advances that JDRF has helped fund, and we talked a lot about the Miracles Gala that's coming up, a night for kings and queens, and it's on October 19th. Go to jdrf.org and make sure that you sign up. Just look up JDRF North Florida and Miracles Gala, and you'll be able to find how you can purchase your tickets, support the cause. Guys, I tell you, last year, there were over 500 attendees. We had big, big fun. But beyond the fun, we helped raise over $600,000 to fund research that ultimately we hope will lead to a cure for diabetes, type 1 diabetes. But along the way, JDRF is improving lives. And we talked about some of the advancements that we've seen in recent years that have helped Melody, that have helped her life be easier as her daughter has type 1D. So it was a great show. But again, if you missed the first part, you can always go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. Right, you go there and you can click on the episodes tab, and under that I have each one of my shows that we've been doing for the last year and a half anyway, and you can click on, see who my guests are, listen to the show, because the podcast is uploaded and they're a whole lot of fun. You know, this next part of the show is one of my weekly contributors, and I'm really proud to have Coach Larry O'Brien. He's an executive leadership coach. He creates customized programs for individuals and for companies. He's been in training, development, and career coaching for over 20 years, maybe 25 now. He's getting old like me. But Larry and I worked together many moons ago back at Merrill Lynch when it first came to Jacksonville, Florida, and we're lifelong friends. But beyond that, he is a great business person, and he takes time every week to give us a leadership lesson. It's designed to help managers become effective leaders. And there's a big difference between managing people and being an effective leader. With no further ado, let's get this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
I was on a project team to create the best leadership program the world had ever seen. Our CEO said that we were going to win in the marketplace because of our great leaders. So Larry and team, you need to train them up good. We had the best and the brightest in the room, people with years of experience and expertise in leadership development, and we are going to create the greatest leadership program ever seen. We are going to do it right this time. We're going to take our time with it, challenge each other, say the unsayables, because it was that important. The survival of our company was at stake. Okay, I think I went too far there. Our boss left it up to us to change the world. Okay. I went too far again. And that same boss also wanted to see us progress. So here's what would happen on a regular basis. Think about this. We're all in a room around the table hashing out, designing this new leadership program. It became a regular occasion for the door open, boss walks in, and walks around the table. Are you still dipping your toes in? At some point, you need to jump in the water. Then the boss would walk out. What impact do you think that had on the team? Did it motivate us to be more creative, more innovative? Did it help us to get the flow and immerse ourselves on the task? Or did it influence us to make it just another check-the-box activity? Well, I know you're all dying to find out that we did create a great program and we delivered it for many years and had great results. In spite of the fact that at times we didn't have what's called psychological safety on our team. For all fairness, I love this leader and still consider this person a friend. But today I want to talk about team psychological safety. So what is psychological safety? Why is it so important, and how can you influence it, whether you lead teams or not? According to research from Google, not my research on the Google, but Google the company, they identified that psychological safety was the most important differentiator of effective teams. When teams have psychological safety, they are less likely to leave and more likely to innovate, to be inclusive, generate revenue. I mean, sign me up for that. So Amy Edmondson of Harvard first defined psychological safety as a belief that one will not be punished or humiliated for speaking up with ideas, questions, concerns, or mistakes. So let me ask you this. Have you ever not asked a question because you thought you might look bad or might look like you're out of the loop? Have you ever not made a suggestion because you were afraid a mistake might be held against you? Did you ever not take a risk because the political implications were just too steep? Did you ever not ask for help or clarification because you might look weak? Have you ever felt that your unique points of view were not appreciated? I know I have. And if you answered yes, those are signs that you lacked psychological safety on your team. So how do we create psychological safety on our teams? I'm going to give you three tips. First of all, frame the work as a learning problem and not an execution problem. And what do we mean by that? Well, when we change the mindset that we're here to learn, then people are naturally more open. Make it clear that we need everyone's input, that things might be uncertain and that's okay, and that we need to learn as a group together. That also involves avoiding blame storming. That's right, blame storming, not brainstorming, but blame storming. Instead of, hey, why did you do this? Focus on solutions. How can we work toward making sure this goes more smoothly next time? What can we do together to make a game plan for next time? Next is to acknowledge your own failability. Show vulnerability as the leader. It makes a huge impact on the safety in the team. You can say something like, hey, I may be missing something here, or I missed something here. I don't know everything. When you go first and share your own vulnerability, the team will follow. Third, model curiosity. Ask a lot of questions. Solicit inputs, opinions, and feedback from your teammates. And when you do, don't allow for interruptions. So make it clear that we need everyone's input to identify the best path forward. I have an excellent tool that Google uses called How to Foster Psychological Safety on Your Teams. It has more tips than the ones that I just shared here. So reach out to me on LinkedIn and I will send it to you. Finally, I'm going to leave you with this. I was listening to a very senior leader talk to a group of high potentials, and he said, you've heard people say, don't bring me a problem without a solution. And that sounds like good advice, right? But he saw it differently. He said, I know that some problems are very complex, and what I don't want you to do is not to come to me with a problem because you can't solve it for yourself. Come to me with problems so that we can work it out together. Wow, talk about psychological safety. Just remember, it's the little things that we do every day that helps to build psychological safety. And this is a great example of how to do it. Again, reach out to me if you want the document on how to foster psychological safety on your teams. Connect with me on LinkedIn or go to my website, www.mendozaandobrien.com.
All right, another gem from Coach Larry, and we learn a little bit of something about psychological safety. Guys, I highly recommend you go to MendozaandObrien.com. Engage Larry O'Brien. He's excellent. He's the top of the mountain. He's the guy that sits at the top of the mountain with a long white beard that everybody goes to learn some information from. That is Larry. He is a sage. MendozaandObrien.com. Folks, I am Pete the Job Guy, but my real name is Pete Langlois, and I've run staffing agencies right here in Jacksonville for over 20 years. I help people, sometimes when they're at their most vulnerable spot in their lives. They need a job, or they need that next step in their career, or they need income to pay the bills. I help folks. I help very, very specialized skill set people like data architects and, you know, CFO types that might be that might need an interim project. I do direct placement. I do perm. But mainly what I do is I help companies find candidates that they either can't find on their own. You know what it's like now. If you're a hiring manager and you place an ad, you know, it's hard because, you know, in that skill set, if it's accounting and finance, if it might be in the legal field or it might be an administrative clerical or IT, if you place that ad, there's probably 300 other ones that are just like yours out there. And when you place that ad, not everybody's that's a good qualified candidate is looking at ads right now. Right. With unemployment in some sectors right now, like let's say accounting and finance at 2.1% unemployment, 1.8% in IT right now here in North Florida. You know, people aren't looking for jobs. Everybody that is skilled and is a qualified candidate, they're in a good job. They're not actually looking. Well, that's why you call me as a professional recruiter. I listen to you. We sit down and we talk. I've been doing this for a long time, right? So I'll come out and I'll say to you, hey, you know, tell me what exactly you're looking for. Describe to me your work environment. You know, what's the technology that you use? What types of people are you looking for? And when I come out, I'm looking around. I'm understanding your corporate culture. I'm looking at the driving patterns, proximity to the highways, all that. What's your business? What's your operation looks like? And then I'll ask you for the intangibles. What do you look for? From a person, you know, is it just a skill set? You want someone to come in, keep their head down, do a lot of work, not make any waves. Great. Or you want somebody that's a little different, maybe that can think and speak on their feet and they can, you know, have, they can present their ideas well, and they're, you know, going to come in. If there's a better way to do it, they're going to figure it out, and they have an entrepreneurial spirit. Whatever it is, I sit down and I really listen. I'll ask you, you know, what types of companies do you like to recruit from, you know, and who do you want me to stay away from? But we spend some time up front so that when I present a candidate to you, you know, they're going to be qualified. I don't want to waste time. I mean, and when I present candidates to you, it isn't like, you know, they're in a stack of other resumes. You know, pardon the expression, but I've already kissed all the frogs to find the prince or princess I'm comfortable representing to you. You know, and by frogs, I just mean people that are less qualified. So I hope you understand, if you engage Pete the Job Guy, you're getting a professional with 20 years experience as a recruiter in the staffing industry. And I've only done professional staffing, and that's accounting and finance, that's legal, technology, administrative, clerical. I have not done healthcare, and I haven't done a light industrial type employment. I can do that on a direct placement basis. If you need to engage me, I'm happy to do that, but I can only do that on a direct placement basis, not on a temporary basis. But guys, again, Pete the Job Guy, go to PeteTheJobGuy.com. You'll have choices right there. Are you a candidate looking for a job? Are you a client that needs help and resources? Or one of the other choices is the radio show. You know, you'll be able to click right on the radio show, listen to my past broadcasts, listen to Coach Larry's past broadcasts, which is great. I isolated those. If you need to, you know, work on some management things, you can listen to Coach Larry's episodes isolated without having to listen to the whole show, which is great. But or if you want to be a guest, or you need a shout out from Boston Danny, we can do that via the website, PeteTheJobGuy.com. Well, right now it's time to take a quick break. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, president of Angie Staffing. If you're finding it harder and harder to find the right candidates, or your ads are letting you down, call me, Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. I have over 20 years of experience right here in Jacksonville. I can help with anything, accounting, finance, legal, even that one position that's impossible to fill. Angie Staffing, 904-703-8880. We're bringing back the hustle.
And what a wonderful commercial from somebody that I deeply respect. Welcome back, all you hard workers. You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy right here on News 104.5 WOKV. You join me every Sunday morning to get your career advice, because I'm a career expert. You guys know I've run staffing agencies for over 20 years. You know, I built up one company, a national company, where I had over 400 employees, 37 offices, and we were a $120 million company, and it was exciting, and it's great. Right here now, I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, and Jacksonville alone. I'm taking care of all North Florida. And if you need help finding top talent, qualified talent in Jacksonville, you need only reach out to Pete the Job Guy. You can email me, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com, or you can call me 904-304-4033. Let me say that again, 904-304-4033. 304-4033. Call me. I'm Pete the Job Guy. I'm happy to help you find those qualified candidates that are oh so doggone elusive. If you missed the beginning of the show, I always say shame on you. Set your alarm and get up a little bit earlier and stop missing it. But it is okay. You can always go to PeteTheJobGuy.com and listen to all of my shows via the podcasts that we upload. So if it plays on Sunday, we typically get it uploaded to the website on Monday. If not Monday, it'll be up there Tuesday. And you'll be able to listen to it in its entirety and its full glory, and you will love it and be the better for it. This show, as you hear Josh say at the beginning of the show every week, is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. So what does that mean? That means I try to give you career advice and try to help you to be more effective and productive. And at the first part of the show, I talked about my DBM reflection. And DBM means don't be me. Okay, I tell you where I stepped in it when I was a young leader or earlier in my career and made mistakes. And I don't tell you this to beat myself up. I tell you this because I want to give you advice and say, don't do this because you will have the negative effects that I had, that I brought onto myself. But also I give you tips that'll help you, you know, stay on the right path. And what I talked about this morning is when I was a young leader earlier in my career, early on, I let anger and emotion get the best of me. I mean, it wasn't unusual that if something or somebody made me mad that I'm raising my voice and yelling. I could be intimidating, you know, and I told a story about how one time I was at a conference and I banged my fist on a table and I was showing my my rear end and hit my hand on the table and was yelling and it spilled coffee all over the table. And I'm lucky I didn't get fired. And I mean that because that's a gesture of I was out of control. You know, someone could have said that it's a hostile work environment and this guy is really intimidating me and I'm uncomfortable in the workplace. That's how I think I made people feel. And, again, why do I say that? I say that because, guys, if you are one of those people, 65% of us have experienced some type of office rage and anger in the office. And there are people that right now you're a leader and you regularly lose your temper at the office or at your workplace. You got to can that. There's no room for that. You got to get rid of the emotion. Think of all your possible solutions and then get right into what is the best one. Okay, and it's not going to be letting the emotion get the best of you. When you get angry and have an outburst, whatever you're angry about, people lose sight of it. What they focus on is the way you handled the situation in a negative way. Your inability to deal with a difficult situation becomes the focus. And I don't want that to happen to you. So DBM, don't be me. This next part of the show, this is my self-indulgent part of the show, but a lot of you guys write to me and you like it. Some people say, hey, this weekly contributor, Boston Danny, that's really you, you know, and pretending to be something. No, it's not me. It's Boston Danny. I went to boot camp with Boston Danny 35 years ago. We're lifelong friends. He's a great guy. Boston Danny likes to brag about the weather up in Boston, his sports teams, and rub it in our faces that, you know, they're winning just about everything. I mean, you got a great baseball, not so much this year, but their football team, the Patriots. I got to hear the Celtics. You know, all this. You know, it's great. But anyway, Boston Danny also gives shout outs to people. If you got an event that's coming up, a birthday, an anniversary, somebody accomplished something, just go to PeteTheJobGuy.com, click on the Boston Danny section, and fill out whatever your shout-out is, and Boston Danny will give a wicked pissa shout-out like only Boston Danny can. With no further ado, Josh, let's go to our Boston update from Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here. Well, it's another weekend, guys, and, you know, not to hop on a couple subjects, but you know, since I've been venturing out down to Florida, but, you know, the weather and the traffic is just a constant up here in Boston. I don't know what's going on. Like I said, we just went through a little bit of Indian summer. We got the 80-degree heat. Everybody else was getting it, too. But, I mean, we swing. Today, it's, you know, it's in the 50s. Yesterday was in the 60s. Bright sunshine, gorgeous, but just a little nippy. But it's nice when it starts changing over. Things are good. You know, Cheryl and I are still up here in the Berkshires. You know, we got through our 33rd wedding anniversary last week. It just worked out that this was the time when we were going to come out to Western Mass and enjoy everything. We went on a beautiful scenic foliage train ride. We went from Adams up in North Adams down the Housatonic River. You know, the rail bed went right beside all the river. It was real nice. It's an eye-opener. Still old mill towns up there. It's a shame. That used to be the heartbeat of the American industry. But, of course, everything changes. It's not, you know, 150 years ago. But it was beautiful. But, you know, like I said, I was down in Tampa Bay a few weeks ago. And just watching the way the traffic, you guys, roads and stuff down here. I mean, here up in Boston, you know, to get to Boston from Boston, it takes you an hour. I don't know if it's just more cars on the road, although when you're watching the news, that's all you see are car commercials. So it's probably more cars, you know, less people, whatever. I mean, I didn't even have a car. I didn't even own a car until I got out of the service. You know, it was crazy. I used to take transportation. You know, yeah, granted, I lived downtown, but, you know, Boston has a great mass transit system. The MBTA, the T, you know, it does its job pretty good. It's got its own hiccups. Can be a little tough in the wintertime, but, you know, you dealt with it. But I'm telling you, the traffic up in Boston is just brutal. Down in Tampa Bay, they had the wide streets. It seemed like everything just kind of moved a little bit better. Just getting to the game on time was perfect. We went to the Rays game. You know, it wasn't no hassle trying to get in town like that. So we got that going for us, which, you know, we got the hockey season coming up. I know Tampa Bay is going to be right there in the running with it. And I think I've kind of adopted Tampa Bay as one of my, you know, one of my favorite teams coming through with you guys. And, of course, the Jaguars, they're always on my list in the top five of NFL teams. You guys are doing it right down there. So I don't know. Florida, not like the rest of us. It's getting better, though. So I got your shout-outs for you. I got all you people. Send them in, folks. You know I love butchering it up for you. So I got a Wicked Pisser birthday to Ronnie Newreen. That's from his family. Obviously, they love him a lot. A happy birthday to Chuck Iggy Ignoski. Surprised they call you Iggy, Chuck, because that just don't make no sense. But I'm only kidding. It sounds good. So he's a Navy veteran. God bless him. And that's from his friend, Chief Monty. So congratulations on your birthday, kid. Like I say, do it for yourself. Nobody else is going to take care of you, brother. A very happy birthday to Joe Leal, Lex Rogers, Vanessa Anderson, and Troy Gibbs. And that's from the Isle of Palms community. Very nice section of town, I'm supposing. I think, Peter, you live in there. So, you know, Jacksonville, enjoy your Sunday, brothers and sisters. I'll be talking to you next week. Thank you.
All right, Boston Danny. That's Danny Mullen up there in Dorchester, Massachusetts. That's my buddy right there. Oh, I want to thank Boston Danny. I want to thank Coach Larry O'Brien for his weekly contribution. I want to thank my two guests, Alexandra Iannone, and also Melody Van Zandt, representing JDRF today, talking about the Great Miracles Gala. Please make sure you get your tickets. Go to jdrf.org, and all you got to do is Google up Miracles Gala on October 19th, and you'll be able to get to it. It's real easy. Oh, I'm so glad you joined me this morning. Guys, you've just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on News 104.5 WOKV.